Welcome to Japanese with Manu. In Japanese, Japanese with Manu へようこそ。Thanks for dropping by. 来てくれてありがとう。My name's Manu, and I'm a Japanese teacher. I've been teaching Japanese for over 15 years. I'm old. By the way, old in Japanese means 古い, but only use 古い for things and objects.Not for humans and not for animals. If you want to say that the person is old, you could use 年上。年 means age and 上 means on or above, so like upper age. You're referring to somebody who is older but in a very respectful way. For example, 年上の人。人 means person.I could talk about how to express old for several more minutes with giving you several more details and words, but let's stick to what we came here for, self-introduction for beginners. Basically, every self-introduction consists of three parts, at least three parts. Of course, you can add whatever you want, but start with the word, はじめまして。はじめまして。So the thing is, when I say something in Japanese, I try to say it slowly, and I want to give you some time to repeat it together with me. So I say the word, I give a small break for you to repeat. And if you want, you can also take notes, of course. All right.
はじめまして。はじめまして。
Then, your name plus this.Followed by a
よろしくお願いします。よろしくお願いします。
So in my case, there would be
はじめまして、マノです。よろしくお願いします。
Of course, I could like add like a bow. I'm sitting here, so it's a little bit different, but if I were standing, like, they are different. Again, well, that's another thing I could talk about, like how to politely bow in Japanese and all kinds of...degrees. Anyway, so,
はじめまして,
your name plus this, and then
よろしくお願いします.
That's basically the simplest way of introducing yourself. Let's take a closer look what these words mean. So the first word,
はじめまして.
Basically, you use it for someone when you meet them the first time.
はじめ means the beginning.Or, 初めて, the first time.
Like, 初めての寿司, the first time sushi. The first time you're eating sushi, for example. Mostly, 初めまして is translated as, like, nice to meet you. I mean, that's not wrong, but what I want you to know is, like, the real meaning behind, like, where the word really comes from. All right, that's the first word.You use it every time in all kinds of self-introductions. Then you use your name. First the family name, then your first name. Or you could only just stick with your family name only. You could also just go with your first name, depending on the situation, which means like, which people are you meeting? Are you meeting, like...people at about the same age, or are you gonna be at the birthday party, or are you gonna meet your employer, for example? That depends, like, on, you know, like, first name basis or family name basis. Anyway, I prefer to be on first name terms with my students, so I usually introduce myself with my first name only, Manu. And at the end of your introduction, you usually say,
よろしくお願いします,
which translates to, please be nice to me. Let's take a look at all these words.
よろしく comes from よろしい. よろしい comes from いい.
よろしい is a very polite form of いい. いい means good.
お願い,
the 願い means wish or request, and the お in front makes it just a little more polite. This お can be found in other words like,
お寿司、お水,
which means water,
or お金, money.
So you can, of course, just say only sushi or 水 or 金. But the お just makes it sound more polite. Makes you sound more polite. It doesn't mean that you are, that the sushi is polite or the water is polite or the money is polite, but that you speak in a polite way. It's like in English, you would say, could you please, or would you be, or whatever, would you be so nice to, or whatever, you know, like the Japanese in terms of politeness is like, that's a whole, I wouldn't say one episode, like the politeness in the Japanese language is like 10 to 15 episodes maybe. Anyway, let's go back to where we are, the self-introduction. So, yoroshiku onegai shimasu. Shimasu means to do. So, it just basically means you bring forth a request to be good, to be nice. So, when you meet somebody for the first time, basically what you want to say is like, so we're meeting for the first time and please be nice to each other. Please not do something bad to each other. Please work together in a nice way. So, it's basically a little like, I would say like a magic spell, which connects you with the other person, which forms a first bond with this person. So besides first meetings, so people basically use it after request. For example, the thing is like holidays. I mean, maybe you have heard it before, Japanese people don't really go on holidays because, yeah, if one person goes on holidays, that means the people who are not going on holiday have to take over your task. So, of course, you feel kind of guilty. So that's also one reason. And another reason is, of course, that Japanese people, they do have quite a lot of holidays, especially public holidays. But that means that everybody is on holiday then. And it's not that bad to just, you know, go on holiday and the other people stay because everybody's on holiday. Anyway, so you say, yoroshiku onegai shimasu, for example, when you... Basically, you could also say, I'm sorry, because you really feel sorry. You should feel sorry. The Japanese at least feel sorry. They feel sorry for a lot of things. Yeah. So when you're on holiday or when you send emails, also like for the first time you send an email, but not only. Also like when you are going to ask for something in an email, like ask the other person to do something for you or send you something or whatever, you know, give you some further information, you will end the email with yoroshiku onegai shimasu. Also like saying like, okay, we're starting this project, please be nice with each other, please, let's work nicely together. I have also heard people saying only the short form, which is yoroshiku, so without the onegai shimasu. I just like, yoroshiku! I mean, there's several other meanings and possibilities to use, but people are like, I don't really care. I'm just leaving. Bye. You know, take care of my tasks. Bye. Yoroshiku. Yeah. But back to introducing yourself. We've been already talking about it for a little, the politeness in Japanese language. It depends basically on the age and the social ranking of the person with whom you're talking. But never forget that you have the foreigner bonus. What's that? I mean, like, Japanese people do not expect you to speak Japanese, not at all, most probably. Definitely not, like, if you were, like, a native speaker. They're happy if you know a few words. So, don't be afraid if your grammar, your level of politeness and pronunciation is not perfect, because the Japanese people have the same problem with other languages, with English, and maybe they have it even harder, more difficult, because one reason is the lack of syllables. The Japanese language has like only 46 syllables, but, well, that's another story. Just to let you know, there are way less ways of pronouncing something in the Japanese language, which makes it way easier for Japanese people to learn languages which have way more ways of pronouncing things, like the English language. I think the English language have like 200 or, I don't know, like 400 ways of pronouncing things. So, you know, like 46 versus 400 ways. Of course, that's going to be difficult, right? So, I can promise you, if you're able to say, hajimemashite, your name, this, yoroshiku onegai shimasu, you will hear, Nihongo o chousou desu ne? Your Japanese is so good. I have heard it plenty of times myself, and usually, as a foreigner, you might say, Ah, arigatou gozaimasu, like, thank you. But the Japanese, if they are, if somebody says, oh, you're so good, Japanese people will never say thank you. They will say, no, no, that's not true. いやいや, まだ です. That's what you could answer. いやいや, まだ です. いやいや, まだ. 全然 ダメ です. I'm completely not good at all. You know, like, so, well, that's the thing. Anyway, so, 日本語上手 です. 日本語 is the Japanese language. 日本 is Japan. 語 is the language, Japanese language. 上手 means you're good at something. 日本語を上手です. The o is again like the o which we had before with omizu or osushi, you know, like, to make it sound more polite. Yes. Well, so we have the three important parts, but let's go further. You could also add your nationality, your age, your job, your hobbies, or even like the reason why you want to, why you have started studying Japanese. So, the nationality, that's quite simple. If you know the word for your country in Japanese. But that's not a difficult thing. It's just, you know, just take any kind of dictionary, online dictionary. I personally can recommend the app Akebi, which is for Android. And because it's not only a dictionary, it has also a lot of kind of functions you can use for studying and memorizing things. So if you do not have Android as on your phone, so if you don't have an Android phone, then for iPhone, I could recommend Imiwa because it's similar. But I've never really used it myself because I don't have an iPhone. All right, so you have your name, your country name, and then you add Jin. Jin means person. But didn't we have the word for person before, remember? 上の, 年上の人, and I said 人 means person, right? 人 is the Chinese pronunciation of the same kanji. Let's talk about Chinese and Japanese and pronunciation and kanji a little later. Just remember or memorize 人 means person, and add it to your country name, you get the nationality. And then add the des, because that means to be. In case you have two or more nationalities, that's a little more complicated. I'll talk about another time, put it on a list of things I will tell you or teach you another time. All right, so for Americans, that would be Amerika-jin desu. Or for Canadians, Canada-jin desu. For people from the UK, Igirisu-jin desu. I could not tell you the background story of Igirisu and if there are any other words that you could use for referring to people from the UK. Again, another day. And there are also other words to state or other ways to state where you're from. So not like only the nationality, but you could say like you come from a specific country or place or city or whatever. And that's the way the part where you come from or like the name where you come from plus Kara kimashita. Kara means from, like starting point. Kimashita is the past tense of kuru. Kimasu means to come. Yeah, I know what you're thinking right now. But actually, the Japanese people say something else, if you know what I mean. I guess another topic I could talk about another time, but not into my introductory episode. I try to keep here some kind of modesty. Anyway, another time. また今度. Back to the thing about から来ました. I said that's the past tense. Because once you have arrived in Japan, the action of coming is over once you arrive in Japan. So that's why it's over, which means past tense, kimashita. So you're not constantly coming, but once you have arrived there, it's over. That's why it's kimashita. About myself, I am from Austria, Europe. No, not from Australia. People keep mixing it up all the time. We don't have any kangaroos there, except maybe the ones in the zoo in Vienna. Oh, we also have like Australian pubs there where you could eat kangaroo meat. So, Austria, Europe, but I live in Japan. I will talk about myself a little later. First, let's go back to you studying some more Japanese. Your age. Of course, you need to know the numbers. In case you do not need, you do not know that yet, let's give you a quick introduction. Mind you, if Japanese people count with their hand, with their fingers, they do it a little different. They do not start with a thumb, but with their index finger. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, oh sorry, no, 4, 5. Alright, 1 means 1, 2 means 2, 3 means 3, 4 means 4. You might also hear 4, which also means 4. However, the Japanese people have a little problem with 4 because it has the same pronunciation as death. Yeah. So, if possible, people usually use 4. But there are certain things where you have to use 4, but that's another story. All right. And 5 for 5. And then you start with 6 again, not with your thumb on the second hand, but again with your index finger. And you put your second hand in front of the first one and then start counting like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Instead of 7, which is 7, you could also say 7. So 7 somehow sounds similar like 4, 7, remember? So instead of 7, you usually will hear 7, 7. Because 7, the same 7, sounds like death again. So 7. All right, once more. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, 9, 10, from 1 to 10. Now some people might say, yeah, but I have heard people say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, without the U. Well, that's a personal preference. Especially if I want to sound a little more, a little softer, not too direct, a little more polite, then I try to pronounce the U at the end a little more. I will talk about the U and E because these are syllables or like sounds that are usually omitted or only pronounced in a very short way another time. I think maybe I will do it today. Anyway, once more, please repeat after me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, 9, 10. All right, 1 to 10. How does it work with 11 or with 12? Well, it's super easy. There are no exceptions, not 11 or 12, or in other countries, like 11, 12 in German. It's just 10 and 1. 11 for 11. 12 for 12. And so on and so forth. 13. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and then 20 is then 20, 2 and 10. Which means 30 is 30, 40 is 40, 60, 70, 80, 90, and 100. Anyway, we're not here for learning how to count. Anyway, all right, so we know the numbers. And now we just combine the numbers with sai, which means years old. Now the thing is, sai is a so-called counter word. What is a counter word? You use it for counting things, of course. There are lots of counter words in the Japanese language, approximately around 100. Don't worry, you don't have to learn all the 100 ones. If you concentrate on the first 10, the most important ones, then it will be more than enough. So how does this work? Counter words are... the use depends on like usually the shape
of what you count. For example, long and cylindrical things like a pen or a tree or a bottle or a banana. They all have the same shape. And for that, you use the same counter word, which would be actually hon. And now you might say, like, but hon doesn't mean hon book. Yeah, it does. But hon is not the counter word for books, but for long and cylindrical shaped things. All right, so sai is the counter word for old. Like, I'm old, one, old, too old, no, years old. All right, so the thing is, sai starts with an S. The problem with words that start with S, especially counter words, is an S is an unvoiced sound. And if there before an unvoiced sound there is an E or an U, then the word changes because it's difficult to pronounce. For example, 1 year old, ichi and sai is not ichi sai but issai. Issai is way easier to pronounce than ichisai. Then nisai, ni for 2 and sai 4 years old, nisai. Sansai, yonsai, gosai, dokusai, nanasai. Hassai is not hachisai, it's hassai. Kyusai, and no, it's not chusai, it's jussai. Jussai is actually an exception from the rule I just told you before. So please memorize. Issai, nisai, sansai, yonsai, gosai, dokusai, nanasai, hassai, kyusai, jussai. All right, so the thing. So if you want to say, let's say you are, let's say you're 20, then actually you're in bad luck. Because 20 years old is an exception. I think I'm going to talk about that in a long way ago, long in the future, in another episode. No, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. It's actually hatachi. Hatachi, and why is it 20? Like, the thing is, like, there were, like, the ichi-ni-san actually is not China, it's not Japanese, it's actually from China. So, like, we talk about that later on, but anything. So, ichi-ni-san is originally the Chinese pronunciation of the kanji. But there were or there are also Japanese ways of pronouncing things, pronouncing numbers. And the hatachi is the leftover, the remnants of this kind of Japanese pronunciation for 20. I was like, hatachi, 20, was the age when you became an adult in Japan. Now it's 19 years old, they changed it recently, but before it was 20. So that's still why it was or is an important number, and it's still hatachi. The hatachi doesn't already include the sai. So they don't know hatachi sai desu or something, it's just hatachi desu. Alright, let's go for one more example. For example, if you were like 28 years old, then you would be 28歳 desu. Because we have 20 and 8 and sai. And because 8 is hachi, you know, hachi and sai is hassai. So no matter if you're 28 or 38 or 48 or whatever, or 8 only, it's always the hassai plus 20 or 30 or whatever. You might have wondered, like, I am blah 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 years old. This sentence does not include the word for I, which is watashi. Well, that's another topic for another episode, to let you know. The subject of a sentence is not necessary in Japanese language if it's known by context, if you know by context who the subject is. And also, if you want to point at yourself, point at your nose. Don't point at your, like, chest or whatever. All right, next. Stating your job. That's also kind of easy. You just need the job title and then again, this. Just look it up in a dictionary. However,
It happens quite often that the foreign job name is not available in Japanese and vice versa. What you also could do is just simply state the name of the department you work at. In my case, I would say 教師です。Because I'm a teacher, right? But you might think, isn't teacher sensei? Or sensei or sansei or whatever? No, no. It's sensei. And don't say sensei or something. It's sensei. It's a long e sound. Sensei. Well, yeah, you're actually right. Teacher means sensei. However, sensei is a very polite way of addressing a teacher, and not also addressing a teacher, but in general used to show that someone is superior in terms of age and knowledge. For example, you use sensei for addressing doctors, politicians, also artists and writers. For example, you would say to mangaka like the name and the sensei. So if I were a mangaka, you would say like Manu sensei. Well, I'm not a mangaka. I mean, I do like to draw. I'm not. Anyway, so that's the thing. But you don't want to be polite to yourself, only to others. So don't use polite forms for yourself, only for others. Which means don't say sensei to yourself. Say that you are 教師です。I could also say 日本語の教師です because I'm a Japanese teacher. Well, actually, that's not 100% true about the sensei thing. There are people who call themselves sensei in like third person. It's quite frequent, actually. I once had a tea ceremony teacher who was constantly referring to themselves by saying sensei. Sensei wa ne, blah, blah, blah. Then she told me about her story or whatever, you know, like talking about like, instead, like, I was like, I did this and that. And she was like, sensei wa blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, about whom is she talking? Does she talk about herself? Does she talk about a different teacher? And they finally realized, oh, she talks about herself by referring to herself by saying sensei. It actually happens quite often. You can also see it, for example, in one of my famous anime, which is Assassination Classroom in Japanese, Ansatsu Kyoshitsu. There is Koro sensei. And Koro sensei quite often says, sensei wa totemo ureshi desu. So it's like, I'm super happy. In case you haven't watched it, please go and do. All right, which brings me to the next part of the self-introduction, your hobbies. 趣味 means hobby. So if you want to say, my hobby is this and that, you're just going to say, 趣味は something something this. And you just need to put a noun there, no verb. For example, 趣味はアニメです。趣味はアニメです。The wa just means that the shumi is the subject, not the subject, the topic of the sentence. About, it's this. About my hobby, it's anime. I will talk about wa in a different video. I think I will talk about it later on anyway, but that's a really important thing, and I don't want to just do it in the introduction lesson, the introductory episode. So, but anyway, shumi wa anime desu. My hobby is anime. Of course, you could also say 趣味はアニメを見ることです. That would be like my hobby is watching anime. But in order to understand that, if you're a complete beginner, that would be like over the top in the first episode, introductory episode. If you know, then you know. It's a little more advanced grammatical structure. So I'll talk about that another time. And then we have the reason for studying Japanese. That's again a little more difficult, but let's just go with this one. Basically, what you do, you state the reason at the beginning of the sentence, then add kara. Yeah, kara does not only mean from, as in kara kimashita, as we had when you introduce yourself and saying like you are from blah blah blah. Kara also means reason, like because. And then you say the remainder of the sentence. For example, anime ga 好きですから日本語を勉強します。 Ooh, so many new things maybe. All right, アニメが好きですから means like because I like anime. So remember, something something が 好きです means you like something something. Going into detail here why it's が and not one, whatever, and not wo and whatever, I will talk about it another time. I'm so sorry. Like, I think this video is like going to be, this episode is going to be like super long. And I keep referring to things I will explain later. But if I were explaining everything, I think I would be sitting there even like the next 4 years. And the video would be like, I don't know, like... Anyway, let's go back. So, anime ga suki desu kara. So, because I like anime. And then the rest was like, Nihongo wo benkyou shimasu. I study Japanese. Nihongo, remember, Nihongo Japanese language. The wo is the object marker. It marks the object. What are you studying? Benkyou means to study. Oh my, benkyou is the noun for study. Shimasu means to do. To do, study means like to study. Nihongo wo benkyou shimasu. I study Japanese. So in English, you would say like, I study Japanese because I like anime. In Japanese, it's the other way around. You would say, because I like anime, I study Japanese. All right. Anime ga suki desu kara. Nihongo wo benkyou shimasu. All right. Right. So, tell me your reason for studying Japanese, and I will give you the Japanese translation if it's something that can be said in public. Back to the politeness thing. Are you introducing yourself in front of your new class, or in your workplace, or you had a job interview, or at a party? Every place has a different expected level of politeness. And the first one we had just before is neither super polite, but also not impolite. It's completely fine to use this in every kind of situation. I mean, as a beginner. Of course, if you were going for a job interview, just saying like these three things would be a little, well, not enough, I guess. And of course, if you need like a specific level of Japanese, then of course this would be not satisfactory. So what I'm gonna teach you now is to sound a little more polite, sound more Japanese, sound more native. So what do you need to change? Well, first let's have a look at where you say your name, remember? Name plus this. Instead, you could say name plus to iimasu. That's a little more formal. Iimasu means to say, and the to indicates what is being said. So you could translate that like into I am called name. Name to iimasu. Iimasu is not a passive voice. It's like, you know, the translation I'm called name, that sounds like the passive, but in Japanese language, there are several verbs that have a passive meaning even though they're not used in the passive form. So that's one. Another level, if you would like to reach Mount Fuji level of formality, then you'd better say name plus to moshimasu. Moshimasu is an even politer form of iimasu. It's a humble version. Humble means you make yourself small, less important, more humble. Instead, comparing to when you were saying iimasu. Moshimasu. Maybe you have heard sessha wa blah 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 to mosu. If you like me, a historical anime, and you see like samurai and they are introducing themselves, they would not use watashi for I, they would use sessha. And they would not say moshimasu, they would say mosu. Which is, again, like mosu is like for moshimasu, it's like the same, I mean, the base form, you could say like the dictionary form of moshimasu. And now we're going to go in a completely different way than what I would expect it to do this time, but let's just keep it like that. Okay, so moshimasu is really polite. If you ever heard like a samurai, it says mosu, but it comes from the same base form. Anyway, to moshimasu sounds more humble than to iimasu. And instead of yoroshiku onegai shimasu, you could say yoroshiku onegai itashimasu. Itashimasu is again a humble version of shimasu, to the same level of humbleness as moshimasu. Yoroshiku onegai itashimasu. Yeah, itashimasu is just a more polite way of shimasu. And you could also use kore kara in front.
これからよろしくお願いします。これから means from now on. So from now on, let's be nice to each other. Yes, let's do that. So before giving you the whole self-introduction at one single go, let's see how I reach the top of Mount Fuji in Japanese language. Well, let's say I'm right now somewhere on the brink of reaching like the topmost level of Everest. So like, yeah. So, all right. Everything began when I was around 7 years old. Yeah, that's like lots of years ago. Anyway, at a school trip at elementary school, a classmate brought along his Game Boy with the game Super Mario Land. And of course, I wanted to try it. I loved it, but I wasn't really good at the beginning. I mean, like, remember the small screen? I mean, depending on how old you are, you might remember it, maybe you don't. But anyway, Game Boys are still... Anyway, it was like the first time you're like, you know, pushing the buttons. So anyway, at first my parents didn't really want me to have a console, whatever. But after around 5 years, I finally had enough money to get the NES. Remember, Nintendo Entertainment System. However, in Japan, it was never called NES, it was called Famicom, like family computer, Famicom. And the Super Nintendo was called Super Famicom. Anyway, so Nintendo, Super Nintendo, what do you have? Nintendo 64, GameCube. Was then also like the Wii already? Wii U and the Switch, so like, you know, like blah blah blah, blah, so many in between. Anyway. So, I got the NES, and I also subscribed to the Nintendo magazine. And the first magazine had an interview with Shigeru Miyamoto, the creator of Super Mario and Zelda and Kirby and, you know, like, most of the famous game characters we know now. Anyway, so, this interview sparked my interest in Japan. And, well, not only in Japan, but also him. He was my idol, and I... You know, I was like 7 years old, so, you know, like, I wanted to marry the guy. Well, to make things short, I did marry a Japanese, but not Shigeru-kun. Kun. So Kun is one of those honorifics you add after a name, especially for guys, mostly younger guys. But, you know, like, Mr. Miyamoto is slightly older than me. I could also use Shigeru-chan. Chan makes it sound a little cuter. Chan is usually used for women, mostly younger ones. I'm sure Shigeru-chi forgives me my impudence. You know, chi and tan, they're also like other honorifics. I think that's another topic I could use to fill another episode. All right, but the whole learning and teaching Japanese, what happened there? Well, games led me to anime and manga, and the need to be able to watch and understand them in the original language, because at that time it was super difficult like to get a dubbed version, or basically more than, I don't know, like a handful of anime from Japan, outside of Japan. And so one of the first anime I watched, like realized that this is like anime, was Inuyasha, and it spiked my interest for Japanese history, especially the Warring States period. In Japanese it's called the Sengoku Jidai. You know, the super cool warlords like Nobunaga, Hideyoshi, and Ieyasu. I love Nobunaga-kun and also Ieyasu-chan. Hideyoshi, well, he defeated Shibata Katsuiya, who was the warlord who reigned over Echizen, which is now known as Fukui, so the place where I live, the prefecture where I live. It's in the center of Japan between the cities Kyoto and Kanazawa. Well, actually, I'm kind of biased there, because also Nobunaga defeated the Asakura clan, I'm so sorry, the Asakura clan, who were the leading family in Fukui before Shibata took the clan over. Before Shibata clan took over. So that's the thing. So we had the Asakura clan. I mean, if you ever have the chance to come to Fukui, I would be gladly take you around and show you all the important things. Like, we have a place which called Ichijodani, which is like excavation place where they tried to rebuild this, like this old medieval age town. And that was the Asakura clan. But Nobunaga came, defeated them, and then Shibata clan took over, and then
Yeah, Hideyoshi came and, you know, ruined it again. So that's like, you know, the problem is like Fukui lost a lot of time. That's why Fukui is one of the prefectures least known in Japan, not even by the Japanese. But there are lots of nice things. I, you know, in case you ever stop by, just, you know, contact me. Anyway, let's not go back another 500 years, but just like only 20 years. So I started to study Japanese when I was around 22 years old. I still remember my first lesson. The teacher was a Japanese lady, a very, very nice person. Unfortunately, a problem with explaining Japanese grammar for beginners, mostly because of a language barrier. Her native language and my native language. I was about to learn her native language. However, she didn't have a firm grasp of my native language. Yeah, I know. People usually say it's best to learn from a native speaker and without the use of your own native language. But hear me out, have you ever tried to teach your native language? It's actually pretty difficult. Because, I mean, the reason, you as a native speaker, you know if something is wrong or right, but you don't know why, except you have really studied the language, and even then it's difficult. Yeah. So, and also people say that learning a language is better if you learn it the way a child does. But again, like learning a language as a child, remember, like kids have like 24 hours a day to study language. And even then, like remember, like when you were like 3 years old, were you able to speak like an adult? No, you weren't. It took your whole life to reach this level, right? So it's way easier, actually, if you already have acquired a language, because you can use this language to give you an idea how the other language works. If you know how the other language works, right? Yeah. So that was the reason, basically. I mean, like the problem with like my teacher teaching me her language in a way that I understood, that was basically the problem. I mean, you know, that doesn't mean like that she was a completely bad teacher. No, because I did learn something, but not what I thought I'm able to learn within like the 1.5 years I was studying with her. I still, you know, like didn't really, I mean, like when I teach my students, they, after like 2 months, they're able to, they know the basic grammar, they know how to write hiragana and katakana, they already know some kanji. They know how things basically work. All the thing that they still have to do is, of course, learn some more grammar and vocabulary and everything. But still, you know. So, well, again, of course, I could say I was the most diligent student. I mean, also, like, I had a full-time job at the same time. And then, you know, like, in combination with not so nice explanations. And, of course, like, at that time, like, 20 years ago, there were no YouTube channels, no apps, and like lots of books, especially in my native language, to learn Japanese. Basically, that made my motivation melt like kakigori in the summer Japanese heat. Kakigori is Japanese shaved ice cream. I mean, I even had teachers who told me that unless I was Japanese, I would never master the Japanese language. And Japanese language exchange partners asked me like, why the hell I even wanted to study the most difficult language on earth? Just between us, Japanese is not that difficult. Of course, yes, the grammar is quite different compared to the English one and most other languages, but there are very few expectations. There is no difference between singular and plural, not like child and children in English, or like, I don't know, Schwanz und Schwänze, for example, in German. Anyway, there are no articles, no grammatical genders. There are only two tenses, which means like one past tense and one present tense. We don't have like the past perfect tense, the present perfect tense, the present tense, the future tense. Anyway, yeah. Verbs do not change according to the pronouns. There is no third person S, or the vicious things that the Spanish, the French, or the Germans do with their verbs. Yeah. It just takes a little longer to really get started because, you know, they have three alphabets to memorize. But there's a way around. No, I'm not talking about not learning how to read and write. I mean, you don't want to be like a 3-year-old kid all your Japanese learning life. I mean, you would want to understand what's going on around you. You would like want to know what's being sold in the supermarket, right? I mean, if you're not able to read, you're going to end up like one of my friends who thought he was washing his hair with shampoo, but actually he was using, what was it? I don't remember. Was it hand soap or did he use conditioner? Anyway, it was like he just mixed up things. Yeah. All right. So let me tell you about how my system works. So what I do, first, I teach the two easy alphabets, the hiragana and katakana. And at the same time, I throw in some useful words that you can write at every stage of your learning process. And after you have some vocabulary on your brain, or in your brain, in your hard disk, I also have some nice ways for you to memorize some mnemonics and tips and tricks how not to forget them as soon as you have memorized them, or as you think you memorize them. And then we start with simple grammar, which means you're able to come up with simple sentences pretty much from the beginning. Because I know how important it is to get a feeling of accomplishment. I mean, other people spend weeks and months, like me, studying hiragana and katakana, and don't even, you know, not able to form a simple sentence. Yeah. Just in case. So katakana are used for foreign words. For example, the word terebi. Guess what that means? It comes from terebishon, the Japanized word for television, yes, for TV. Hiragana are used for grammar. For example, the verb endings like the negation, or the past tense of a verb. Neither hiragana nor katakana have a meaning on their own as opposed to kanji. So kanji represent a meaning. They are used for nouns or as the verb stem. So let's use, for example, the English word going. Go would be the verb stem written in kanji. And the ing would be in hiragana because like, it's the ending. Yeah, that's basically how it works. And because I love kanji, to tell you that they are super helpful, I start introducing them as soon as possible, as soon as you know some words. Of course, I'm not going to start with the super difficult ones. We start off with the simple ones to get you used to them, their shapes and parts and structures. And then after some time, we start to combine these shapes into more complex ones. Yeah. Kanji, like studying kanji, that's another thing. Like, so many things can go wrong there. I have met people who like concentrate only on like cramming as many kanji into their brains as possible. And it's like, you know, you can't eat fast enough until you know how much you puke, then puke up the other way. You know, it's just like, it doesn't work like that. You know, it's just, the thing is, like, when you study a language, don't, like, focus on one part of it. You need to study the whole thing. Reading, writing, talking, listening. Right? So if you just concentrate on studying kanji only, it doesn't really work out. And the problem is, like, these people were just, like, learning the pronunciation, but not like whole words. One kanji does not equal a one word because, like, first of all, like the verb ending in terms of a verb, or for example, the Japanese language, Nihongo, has like three kanji. Nihongo. Ni stands for day or for sun. Hon means the basis or book, and go means language. If you have learned like these three kanji, you know, like this is sun, this is the root. Yeah, did I say tree or root? It's the root. And language, like, what's that? You have no idea, right? So learn Japanese language, learn the three kanji together, and learn that these three kanji mean Japanese language. Works way better. Anyway, so if you are a person, and as I said, like, you know, this system is just is not made for long-lasting effect. I mean, of course, there are people who learn with this method. But I think you need to have, like, a photographic memory. In case you're not one of them, like me, then there might be a better way for you. So, as I said, like, kanji are basically vocabulary. subwords have one kanji, some have two or more. So it's better, like, you know, as I said, like, memorize the kanji combination with its pronunciation instead of just learning one kanji with all the pronunciations. Because there might also be exceptions. Yes, there are rules, like which pronunciation goes with which amount of number of amount of kanji. But as I said, there are exceptions. And then you just like stumble across one exception and your rules do not work. Let me give you an example. Maybe you have heard of the word konnichiwa. It's usually translated as hello or good day. But actually, it means regarding today. The kon means now. Nichi means day. Like ni from Nihon and nichi is actually the same kanji. And the wa tells us that the konnichi is the topic of the sense. Remember, like the wa as in, what was it? Watashi wa, I am, about me, or whatever. I don't remember exactly what I was teaching there, but I remember that we talked about the wa for a short time. So konnichiwa means only regarding today. And konnichiwa is only written in hiragana. In order to distinguish it from the word today as kyo. So kyo means today, like today I gonna go and eat sushi or whatever. Konnichiwa is just used for saying hello. So to distinguish these two, which basically if they were written in kanji would have the same kanji, kyo and konnichi. So in case you ever come across a restaurant, and I know lots of restaurants do that, to sound like super international, they have like hello or good day or whatever in all kinds of languages, usually also including Japanese, and then you see like the kanji for now and today, and the wa in hiragana, the particle wa, so, and they think that's correct, but actually it's not. Konnichiwa is always written in hiragana. So if for all that you're listening to here right now, I want you to remember, konnichiwa is written in hiragana. If you ever see it written in kanji, you know the person who wrote it has no idea at all about the Japanese language. Yeah, so, and as I said, the word for today is kyo. There is no like konnichi or something, right? It's kyo. This pronunciation is only used if these two kanji, if the kanji for now and day, are used. Right. So note that, you know, there is no way a kanji can have the pronunciation Q and O. You know, like, you know, like say like the first kanji is Q and the other one is O, so make it Kyo. No, that doesn't work. Because it's an exception. Only if these two kanji form a word together, then it's pronounced Kyo. And no words in Japanese only have consonants only anyway. Alright, another example. Do you know the name of the highest mountain in Japan? In Japanese? It's Fuji-san, not Fujiyama. The reason. Yama is the pronunciation of the kanji if the kanji is used only alone. So only used by itself. Then you use the so-called Japanese pronunciation or kunyomi. If used to form like a word which has several kanji, like in Fuji, in Mount Fuji, because Fu and Ji are the two kanji, you use actually the Chinese pronunciation, which is the so-called kunyomi. So it's basically, if you ever remember, if you want to memorize a rule about Japanese kanji pronunciations, memorize one word consisting of one kanji, Japanese pronunciation, or kunyomi. One word consisting of several kanji, Chinese pronunciation or onyomi. Yeah, and that's the reason why it's Fuji-san and not Fujiyama. Again, if you meet somebody who says Fujiyama, know that they have no idea about Japanese. If you happen to go to a restaurant which is called Fujiyama, and I have seen some of them, know that these people are not Japanese people. I mean, doesn't mean that their food is bad, but do not expect like super authentic Japanese cuisine there. Anyway, yeah, that's what I wanted to say. I mean, these are all things, you know, like why I like to teach Japanese. I mean, like, I just realized, you know, like these are things that people usually don't explain, that Japanese languages usually don't explain, or like I nobody ever told me this. I like had to find it out by myself. Like, why? And what's going on here, right? I mean, that was one reason, a really important reason, because I thought like there must be a better way of teaching Japanese, right? And I also wanted to use my Japanese in my job. Anyway, so what did I do? I took all the good things I had come across in all the Japanese lessons I had received, minus the, let's say, not so good things. I have studied Japanese at language schools and universities in and outside of Japan, coming across all kinds of teachers and study concepts. And I'm very glad that I did, because this was the basis for me to start to teach Japanese. So I started to teach Japanese because I wanted to show people how nice, how beautiful the Japanese language is, because of me being able to speak Japanese and also to teach Japanese, gave me so many nice experiences in Japan and outside of Japan. And I want people to experience, most people, if they study a foreign language, it's because they have to. You know, you have to study Spanish or you have to study French or whatever, you know, like. And now, because, you know, if you have to study a language, it usually is not, you don't really, I mean, you're not going to get that fluent. You need to have like really motivation or something behind. Otherwise, it doesn't really work out, especially for language that is completely different. And now for the first time, you decided for yourself that you want to study Japanese and I want to help you. Yes. Do something for yourself. Do something because you are interested in something, because your interest is really important to study something. Yeah. And I also like, for me, it was a way of also like finding people with similar interests, like people who like anime and manga, karaoke, Japanese food, Japanese history. Yeah, it was so much fun, you know, like seeing people learn a language way faster and easier as I did. And like, it took me so much time. And of course, I'm super happy if people say like, yeah, now I finally understand how things work, even though, you know, like they had nearly given up hope of understanding the Japanese language. Yeah, I mean, that's basically what keeps me going. And I mean, like, it may sound a little strange, I personally suffer when I see motivated people struggle because of bad explanations. And so like what I do, like, you know, like I keep teaching Japanese, and whenever I teach, I constantly try to improve my explanations and make learning for you more efficient, because I know like we only have like 24 hours a day. And most of the time you have, you know, have to do something else anyway. So maybe you have like 1, maybe 2 hours a day to study. And using this time, the time you have efficiently, helps you, of course. And that's what I want to do. And that's what I do. Get my leveled up skills, you know, like after 14 years of teaching and 20 years of, you know, studying Japanese. There is a lot of things I can teach you and a lot of things I can help to improve, no matter how long you have been studying Japanese already. Here on my channel, with my lessons, with my courses, with my books. Before I say thank you for listening, here's the promised extended and polite version of my self-introduction.
はじめまして。イトロイドル・マヌイラと申します。オーストリア人です。42歳です。日本語の教師です。趣味はアニメ、カラオケ、絵、読書、日本料理などなどです。日本の文化や歴史が好きですから、日本語の勉強をし始めました。マノ先生と呼んでください。これからよろしくお願いします。
In English, hello, nice to meet you. My name is Itoroid Manuela. I'm Austrian and 42 years old. I'm a Japanese teacher. My hobbies are anime, karaoke, drawing, reading, Japanese food, and many more. I started studying Japanese because I like Japanese history and culture. Please call me Manu Sensei. I'm looking forward to seeing you around. All right. So thank you very much for stopping by my channel, and I hope I can help you with studying Japanese in the future. Check out my social media accounts for more tips and tricks about studying Japanese language. Sign up for my newsletter so you never miss any of my posts or episodes. you can also check out my books and courses if you want to work together with me directly. Also, if you have questions about the Japanese language or Japanese culture, do not hesitate to send me a message, and we'll put it on my topic list for future episodes. See you soon. Mata ne. That's actually not one of these greetings that have a really interesting background story. Yours, Mano Sensei. Bye bye.